The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Check this. Well, Jeff, DL Debate. Then Mr. Brennan O'Davney and Shah Highland Radio. Welcome everyone to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio. We're back via the podcast. Thanks, Ivan Borland, as ever, for the Power Hour Plus. The show's been produced by Kenneth Wilson this evening. And on this evening's show, we have a packed show. Later on the show, I'm going to be speaking with Irish news columnist Cathal Keane on Newbridge's brilliant back-to-back championship victories in Derry, beating Mara Felt. What a great day for the club it was. We're going to talk about all the major talking points and also in Ulster. I'll speak also with Brian Ferry, sports editor with Donegal News, on his championship team for 2025, and of course all the talking points of the championship just gone past. We'll also hear from Maureen O'Donnell, a regular contributor to the DL Debate and Highland Radio, along with Maria Devaney, after their inaugural Ulster Masters tournament, which Ulster won 5, Donegal ladies were playing on that. Well done them. We'll also talk about Glenfinnan's close defeat to Errol Kieran in the opening round of the Ulster Club. But first up, the man, the award-winning journalist, the man that is Ryan Ferry. Ryan, you're welcome to DL Debate.
Yeah, Brendan, how are you? Are you well?
Hey, listen, Brian, fresh for the Monday. Hey, hard to beat, sir. You've all the hard work done now on the Monday. You kind of put the feet up a wee bit, do you?
Well, I kind of had the feet up all weekend there now, to be fair. I didn't do a wee lot this weekend. So, I got a wee break after the club championship. I was busy there for a bit.
Do you know what, Brian? Funny you mentioned that. Hey, I was trying to think when I last had like a weekend where there wasn't a game on. Like, there was very few of them since the kickoff of the National League with Donegal.
Yeah, there was loads. There was a lot of busy weeks with the Donegal season going deep into it, and then there was it a 2 week break before the start of the club championship. So, yeah, it was been very busy, but very enjoyable at the same time, has to be said.
Yeah, and right, just at local level there, we a couple of minor matches. We've the minor final sorted now, where it's four Masters against Glen Swilly. Seems to be the same names in the round, the underage, a lot of these titles, those four teams in particular seem to be battling it out all around the place. Ryan, is that a sign of things to come from these teams? And certainly some great stuff, some great players coming through.
Yeah, and like I think probably a lot of the young players in those clubs are already making their mark at senior level, Brendan. Like, you know, like Shane Tinney, I think was it 10 points he got for Glen Swilly. He played a lot of senior football this year. Obviously, we've seen Max Campbell. And, you know, a lot of the best players in the club championship this year were actually teenagers and making their mark. So, yeah, definitely those four clubs in particular, maybe Low Terman in there as well, a lot of good young players. I'd say they have maybe a fancy of a crack at the under-21 championship as well. So they're the teams that probably look at the minute like they're leading the chase anyway.
I see Cathal Gallagher in there too. I didn't realise that young, right? You know, when you see him in the 20s and that, I didn't realise he was minor as well. There's under-21 championships in a group phase as well, Ryan. A lot of people kind of questioning that. Terman had a big one over Buncrana there the weekend.
Yeah, I suppose it's probably the appetite there for it? I don't know. You know, would you be better off playing a knockout? Like, I suppose, you know, as we mentioned, those minor semi-finals were on. You've got the minor finals coming up now as well. I think Gardaí minors played on Friday night, and then their under-21s were out at the weekend. So there is a lot going on. I suppose this is kind of, you know, with the split season, your season probably finishing a month earlier than it used to, and yeah, you know, they seem to be filling the gap by playing extra under-21 games. You know, so like that will suit some clubs. It won't suit other clubs, and I would say you could find, Brendan, if a team maybe struggles, gets a bad result or two in their first game, you know, it could be harder to keep things going then.
Certainly, as you mentioned, there are draw beating Dunlow by 4 points in the Division 2 Minor Championship final. Well done to them. Ryan, you know, just on that there, the fact that we have a group stage championship, you're always thinking then about games and players, say players that are involved with senior teams that are going in the, you know, pre-quarter, quarter-final, semi-finals. It's a lot to be asking of people to be playing a lot, you know, and particularly, Ryan, the big thing there for me is the the break to the Ulster game, 1 month between, you know, Niamh Conlon's victory over Gidor, and particularly, Ryan, I think in between the quarter and the semi, why we didn't use that extra week in there. Is there any reasoning behind that, do you think, Ryan? I kind of sent a couple of messages to people in and around the county board just asking, why did we squeeze our championship again in the week on week? You know, I'm thinking particularly example of, say, Termin beating St Unions and being able to probably enjoy that victory and then build up to a semi-final, and, you know, things that get happening in there, Ryan, the team that's in the pre-quarter final, you know, playing in the quarter and in the semi week on week, like, it's not a help to their season.
Yeah, it's a funny one, Brendan, because I'm pretty sure that the Ulster club draw was made around this time last year.
Yeah.
So probably before the fixtures plan would have been put out. And like, you look at it, our teams are playing the Monaghan champions, and, you know, our final was last week. The Monaghan final isn't to this week coming. And, you know, I thought at first maybe it was to, you know, allow a replay. But obviously, you know, we went extra time in our county final. Now, we could have had a replay after that, you know, which would have allowed another week. But, you know, I definitely think, Bren, it could have been pushed forward. And I know what you're saying about the gap break or the breaks that could have been in between the quarterfinals or semifinals. I think particularly this year when our team got to the All-Ireland final, and I think it was very tough on those county players coming straight in, when there was time to push it back and when it became evident that a lot of them weren't going to play in that first round, and most of them did play in the second round, you know, so definitely think maybe it could have been pushed another week, you know, but maybe that should have been decided back in February time, you know. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of a long championship campaign, really. And, you know, who does that work in favour, you know, as well? It's, you know, I don't know. Will the teams stick with it next year? I'm sure there'll be some sort of fixture for them, as there usually is. I don't know if, you know, you hear people giving out sometimes about the format, and then generally by come January or February time, people maybe aren't as vexed about it as they were at different phases. So, yeah, I think this year, considering that our county champions aren't in the preliminary round in Ulster, probably definitely a 4 week break does seem a little bit too much.
You know, Ryan, when you look at it there's certain teams there, obviously it does them good to be playing up the division if they're, you know, you think of the likes of Leif Paddock, who came playing Division 2 last year, went that phenomenal run from junior up, and then different teams operating then at different levels through the intermediate, certain teams wanting to get up to Division 1, but by and large, Ryan, a lot of the teams now, our league has been poor. So if you were a club player now waiting for the championship to come, and then it's sandwiched in, you know, in such a short space of time, you're probably scratching your head going, like, you know, where's the benefit? Particularly with the month on the Ulster, the late, you know, it could have started maybe a bit earlier as well. I know Donegal is obviously in the All-Ireland final. If county players are given a bit of time off, say I'm just a good club player, I may be thinking, right, who's speaking for me here? I want to enjoy me championship, as I say, and you know, even for us, Ryan, and doing media and reporting and that, you know, it's a big quarter finals. You're just assessing them, and then you're straight into, you know, a semi final, you know, from a pre quarter. There doesn't seem to be the time to kind of give nearly the respect to some of them games, and then the build up that should be there.
Yeah, and I definitely feel, Brent, we haven't got the balance right between our league and our championship. And, like, as you know, like, I think Niamh Columber are probably a good example of that, Bren. You know, they won the intermediate championship in great style, but they struggled in Division 2 in the league. And if you look at the team that they played at the start of the league, you know, it doesn't look anything like the team that played in the championship. I think if you go back to Niamh Connell's first league game against Buncrana, you know, I think maybe John O'Malley was the only person that started that game and started the county final as well. Now, I could be open to correction on that one, you know, but it just feels that they're nearly two different worlds now, at the minute, the league and the championship.
No, Ryan, totally agree. And I just think that, you know, when you look at officiating and the fixtures committee and that, you know, I think from the season before, a lot of people weren't happy about, particularly teams that ended up in the pre-quarter, you know, playing a quarter and a semi, I just thought, right, you know, even going back to my own playing days, and we've talked about this before, obviously, Ryan, with the home and away and the quarter, semi and final, you know, the way there was such a brilliant build-up to games, which is kind of taken away from that. And I just think when you look at the whole club season as a whole, you know, the best of what it is, it's all about championship. So for sandwiching in championship, you know, I think we're taking away from the players enjoying it, the spectacle, the reporting of it, all that, you know. But listen, maybe somebody's listening out there, Ryan, and they'll invite us up to a meeting. Probably not. But I'll leave that to the CCCC. But hey, Ryan, tell me, your team of the year was unveiled there. I can't say I have much complaints. All the guys you put in there at Super Season, it's kind of hard, Ryan. There's a few guys in there. I was going to throw a couple of your people your way. You know, Kevin McGinnigan's and Brendan McDyer's, Owen McGeehan, Daryl Wales. It's hard, Ryan. You could make a case for them, but then who do you put out?
Yeah, I think, you know, particularly Kevin McGinnigan, Brendan, like, was he had three big goals throughout it. You know, and my boss Jeremy Doherty was certainly not impressed when I left him out. He reckoned that I should have been pushing him in the corner back, but yeah. You know, then, you know, are you taking out somebody like Alton Doherty, who's been marking a lot of the main men? So yeah, it was difficult. Sean Martin, another one, Brendan McCool's, who I thought, and you know, it's funny the way these things play out a lot of the time, and you know, with new rules or not, no new rules, it's a lot of these half backs are the ones that are really standing out for you. And you know, you could have picked maybe two half back lines that were really strong. Gravy again, Brendan McDyer, some big scores, particularly in the final, definitely could have been in there. Lewis McCaughan, the four Masters goalkeeper, that had a good championship as well. Mm. As you mentioned, Owen McGeehan, Daryl Boyle was good. You know, so like there was plenty of candidates. You know, there are a lot of teams are playing a lot of games as well. Kia McBride of Downing's had midfield.
He had a big impact, that's right, yeah.
You know, so it's trying to get the right balance.
Look, listen, Ryan, it's fair play for putting it out there, because listen, everybody's going to have different teams on this. Even like Big Miguel of Regia had a very solid season midfield with Gidor. I was just thinking about McBride there actually earlier this morning, has impact to that team, and probably some players then, Ryan, even their impact to the team is larger maybe than, you know, say that their own individual performance in there, because they affect so many players around them, no more than probably the season the likes of Kieran Gallagher had. You know, the big man in that midfield now is so vital, and if you look, I suppose what won the final in the end was midfield dominance, you know, and it was something that we're seeing a lot. Like, if a team starts to take over at midfield, then they inevitably won the game. So that's probably a big thing for teams going into next year, Ryan, you know. And did you think even in that, Ryan, the way, was there a kick-out strategy you think needed from Gidor to kind of have a way of, no, Ryan, don't get me wrong, it's a difficult thing, teams squeezing up on you, but did they need some short variation in there? I see you went with Miguel of Regia and goal as well, but it didn't seem like something that was really on at any time to try and get a dink ball away, because I know he has that in his locker.
Yeah, but I suppose, like, when you look at it, Brendan, you know, they did have plenty of big men out there. Like, you know, you had Owen McNeilis, you had Stephen Donna, you had Donal McGill of Regia, you had Adam McGeever. You know, maybe they just backed themselves that they had the size that they needed out there. You know, I suppose you look back to the All-Ireland final and Kerry, Brendan, and probably the big thing for them was when Jason came on and we got the squeeze on, they were able to get the ones away short, but you know, you have to get it out past the arc, so it's a tough kick now to get that away. Like, you know, so yeah. But like as you mentioned, the Kieran Gallagher was really, really excellent. Like, you know, I'm sure he'll be right in the mix for player of the championship as well. Like, because he had, you know, a huge impact. You know, and particularly when Kieran Thompson wasn't there, he was the man that really stepped up to the plate for them.
Mm. So yeah, it was a great season, I suppose, Ryan. A lot of teams there, you know, we kind of touched on, but I see You obviously Ricky Gallagher in there, well deserved. You know, the likes of Downing's and Terman, and so many sides now, Ryan, have stepped up. Like, are you putting that down to coaching, Ryan? You know, higher level of S&C, or a bit of mix of everything there. You know, people are on about the new rules and that, but I think it's a lot of teams have really got their act together. They're very well prepared for the opposition, which is evening things out. I know we still ended up with Gidor and Niamh Connell in the final, but I mean, there was some mighty close games in there right across the board.
Yeah, but like, a lot of this has probably been coming for the last couple of years, Brent. If you've looked at, you know, if you looked at the county minor team sheet over the last, you know, couple of years, you know, some of the clubs that were really pushing hard for the Dr. Maguire, you know, weren't necessarily that hugely represented in some of those teams. You know, so there probably has been a shift coming for a while, starting off at minor level and coming through now. And you know, you look like the Downings, you know, the Johnny McGrawley, Paddy McAlee, that, you know, all played county minor, county under 20, and played very well at that level. So when you've scoring forwards, you're probably always going to come through at some stage. You know, Terman have, you know, they had that minor side that got to the Ulster club final against Lavey. You know, the big thing for them, I suppose, is a lot of those fellas are 22, 23 now, and they've kept them about. I know Jamie Grant transferred to Ballymun this year and was a big loss, but they've so many players that were able to deal with that. You know, so it is a lot of it is down to good coaching too, and teams are well prepared, and they're doing their S&C work, and you know, and the gap's closing, and a big thing is, and I always say it, Brendan, is who's going to stay in the country from you from one year to the next. And another interesting facet of this year's championship was probably the players like Evan Broderick and Ethan O'Donnell that were away in Australia and came home to play in the championship. Is that going to be a trend we're going to see in over the next coming years, where players, you know, particularly with their league, maybe not a big factor, that they think that they can, you know, head away and over, maybe do a bit of travelling and come back maybe a month before the championship and, you know, give it a good rattle? Is that something that could work for a lot of clubs? It might. Maybe there's fallbacks to that as well, but it'll just be a trend to keep an eye on as well, I think.
Certainly, Ryan, if you're as good as the likes you say, as those men, particularly Ethan O'Donnell, can fit in fairly seamlessly there. I had a good chat to him actually last week down in the Thatch Bar. It was all kicking off in Glenties, and listen, well done to them. Listen, Ryan, as ever, thanks for that wrap up, lad, and all your reporting all year, lad, and we'll keep it going now in the Ulster, and we'll catch up sure as the week goes on, and we'll be taking a look right across the board in terms of our teams going in the Ulster club.
Yeah, hopefully these club teams of us will keep us going now to the McKenna Cup run. No more weekends off.
Not allowed to carry on. Top man, Ryan, as ever. Thanks very much. Right, folks, we're just going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after this.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Now we're going to turn our attention to the Ulster Club Championships, the different championships around Ulster, and particularly Newbridge, who did back-to-back with their victory over Mara Felt. I'm going to be joined now by Cara O'Kane of the Irish News. Cara, welcome to the show.
Well, Brenton, how are you? How's things?
Cara, I am the very best, sir. You've recovered. You were on a wee trip down to Letchurcannon. Hey, you were in doing a bit of rallying and over to Sister Sarah's for the grub. You're well looked after.
I don't know if you could call what I was doing rallying. It was driving around very slowly for a long time, but no, well looked after. And Sister Sarah's, Kieran and the lads, very good days now. Put on the intermediate final, and we're glued to it and behaved ourselves for a couple of hours, and then went on to Derry and behaved ourselves for another wee while. It's good crack.
That was a drum club, Ciara, your club there, and it was just a wee day out with the lads.
It was a team bonding day. It was the weekend we'd hoped we'd be in a junior final, but wasn't to be. So we allowed we'd take a bus and make a bit of crack out of it our own way, and that was all we could do. It was great. Now there's so many young boys as sort of feeling my age for a lot of Saturday and even more of Sunday
Well, at least you have the Sunday. If you have the Sunday to chill, you're never too bad. You time that well. Hey, the Sunday into the Monday can be more of a problem. But
absolutely not.
Gary, tell me this now. The Newbridge men, defying all odds, they're saying here. Is this something in terms of legacy? This puts a stamp on that, where some people might say, you know, you go on a run, the championship, you won a championship, and if you're never heard of again, do you get the respect from it? You know, in a championship like Derry's, with the top teams is in it, this is a huge victory, and what a couple of years for the club.
Oh, it's been phenomenal couple of years for Newbridge. Like, there's a lot of football and history and DNA in Newbridge, as people would know, but like, it's a small place. It's,
yeah, just describe where is it? It's, you know, you go up, when we're heading up the tomb there, heading up to Belfast to the airport and that, there's this tiny place over to the right.
Yeah, if you will, everybody will know the Elk there.
Yeah, if you turn
right there, that's Newbridge. And the whole place is about 4 square miles. It's penned in on every side. You have Carrigan on one side, you have Balmawig on the other side, you have Balahi on the other side. Like, there's nowhere for it to expand, if you like. So there's a lot of this, you know, this is again another generation of sons of fathers who were playing back in the day, and a lot of the, you know, they won championships in the 80s, they won championships in the 60s. But it's very cyclical for Newbridge, but when they come, they tend to come really, really strong. There's a huge tradition of football in the place, and they're absolutely mad for it. That part of the world, Lochshore, you know, you have Newbridge, Balmawig and Ballandary, and then you're into Arbole, Murtown, and on the Tyrone side of the water there, like, and it's just a football obsessed part of the world. You know, this time 13 months ago, nobody, absolutely nobody, would have said to you that Newbridge were going to be back to back champions in Derry. They were getting to a point where they were really competitive. They'd reached 3 semi-finals in a row at that stage, then got to a final. But what they've done over the last 2 seasons, and I think, to be fair to them, I would say that this year's is actually even sweeter than that, because of the, you know, the targets on your back. And they went out in the first round this year and were beaten by 10 points, beaten given, and people did write them off. It was like, ah, well, you know, like, that's Newbridge.
Yeah.
They'll never retain it. They were struggling in their own kickouts. They were struggling on certain parts of facets of the play. And it was, I would say it was so satisfying for them on Sunday, because that was somewhere they absolutely dominated the game, was on the kickouts from both ends. They cleaned up on everything that broke in the middle of the field. It was as if they had 4 extra players on the pitch. There was just a green shirt everywhere when the ball broke. And Marfield just could not live with the intensity that they brought to the break. And it was a 2-point win. Marfield had the long range free at the end. It was a tough free. Now Shane McGuckin had an effort from goals from 55 yards, and it had the distance, but it tailed off wide. But I don't think anybody could argue at the result. I think Newbridge were the better side. They got caught for a couple of 3v3 breaches that gave Marvelt scores, that allowed them a wee bit of a foothold in the game at times when they really needed it. But no, in terms of the performance, Newbridge were outstanding. And you know, you have, like, again, it's such a small place. They have 7 sets of brothers on the panel. You know, that's what you're talking about there. You know, just a collection of families that just are producing footballers all at the right time. And they would have played their minors in the minor B semi-final last year. And like, they barely had the 15 players, but within the 15, they had 3 of the strongest minors in the whole county. They had 3 county minors.
Mm.
You know, so like, the quality of what they're bringing through is phenomenal. And they've put in Eamon Young into the team this year, who was off the Derry minor. He's going to be brilliant. Going to be a brilliant footballer. Sean Young, his brother, was playing a different role this year, an outstanding year. Paddy McGrugan was back. He, you know, people forget that Paddy McGrugan missed last year with the cruciate, and you know, one of the best defenders in Ulster, and he wasn't there. And Newbridge won the championship last year. It was part of, like, I did say a few times last week, the psychology of the game had become very dangerous for Marfield, because everybody was talking about them, and Newbridge were bound to be sitting thinking, lads, we're county champions and we're stronger than we were 12 months ago. We beat the All-Ireland champions 12 months ago. Mara Felt have been hyped to the washers here. Like it was such a brilliant psychological position for Newbridge to go into the game, and they just made man. And they just, for outside of the first 10 minutes, Mara Felt could have had goals. Newbridge dominated the whole rest of it.
Yeah. Do you know what? And you know, me and you had a chat about, you know, obviously Marafield's victory over Glen, and the way you were saying they were kind of let off the leash a bit. Was this a bit of a master plan? To deny them possession, number one. I mean, myself watched the Donegal County final, and from the second half on, Niamh Connell absolutely destroyed Gidor. If you don't have the ball, you can't play ball. Was that how they shut down this, as you were saying, this very fast-playing, attack-minded Mara Felt side?
Yeah, and in fairness, I think all the work that they would have put in, because it was only a week from semi-final to final, and saw a couple of quotes from Gary Hetherington after the game yesterday, and he said about, you know, they put a lot of emphasis on stopping Mara Felt scoring goals, and you could see that. And it's tougher in Celtic Park. The pitch is narrower, smaller. They were going to have more problem, but Newbridge dealt with it really well. They defended really narrow, and Mara Felt kept on trying to force the goal, and Newbridge cut it off. And I say, now they did have chances in the first 10 minutes. They got a goal. They could have had another couple, but once it settled, the goal threat almost dried up. Newbridge dealt with it pretty comfortably for most of the rest of the game. And then, the Newbridge are without what you would say is a kind of an out-and-out traditional midfield. And with the rule changes, when they lost to Dungiven by 10 points, Dungiven came out, they put five in the full forward line, and they went after the Newbridge kick-out, and they dismantled the Newbridge kick-out that afternoon and dominated the whole game, dominated possession. And I think that was part of why people looked at Newbridge and thought, yes, they're going to struggle here. Because how do you rectify that? But they rectified it yesterday by just, you know, having an unbelievable tigerish hunger to get the ball down out of the air, to not let Dan Higgins catch it, to not let Owen McAvoy catch it. And once it came down, it was just a swarm of bodies. You're saying about, you know, going out to deny them possession. I think probably what Newbridge achieved in that regard would have exceeded their expectations. I think they would have went thinking, like, we have to bring an unbelievable aggression here to break even and give ourselves a chance in the game. We need that amount of possession. And what actually transpired was they completely dominated the kickouts through their energy and their hunger around the breaks. I think, to be fair to them, like, Gary Hetherington and Kevin Brady they've had 7 days. They actually had the day less than the Mara Felt. They had 7 days between semi-final and final. You can only do so much in 7 days. And it looked to me like they had really prioritised those two facets of their game. Said, look, if we can break even, win enough possession, and we can cut out the goals, we're in with some chance. And they did those two things to perfection, and they won the game.
They'll fancy themselves now, Ryan. They've cut Ulster, you know, particularly with the back-to-back thing. They were unlucky last year. It was a kick of a ball they went out, and you know, because that year, knowing there's a big break like that, you automatically think that the team mightn't. But I think they're probably thinking this year, right, boys, time to make our mark in Ulster now.
Yeah, and look, the draw looks pretty open for them. They're in the preliminary round against Dunloy, who are obviously out for the first time in 90 years out of Antrim.
That's crazy.
Dunloy, it's funny because a lot of the work that they've done for Mara Felt will translate nicely for Dunloy, because Dunloy are a goal-scoring team. They're a really direct, hard-running, fast forward line that like goals. And if Newbridge take a lot of the same template, they'll feel pretty confident that they cut off the goals, they'll be in with a good shot against Dunloy. To get through that, you're looking at a first-time champion, a brand-new champion out of Armagh, either Collyhan or Madden. And then beyond that, you're into Scotstown or Niamh Connell in a semi-final, and Newbridge would fancy themselves for legs on both those teams.
Yeah.
So, there is a pathway there for them. It's you know, they've got on a side of the draw where I think a lot of people would have fancied Carrickduff to at least give Kilcoo their fill of it yesterday, and outside of 10 minutes where Kilcoo went to sleep a wee bit towards the end, like it was a non-contest to watch that game yesterday evening, and Kilku were so comfortable and looked like a side that they're on the tougher side of the draw, you would say, on paper, but they still looked like the strongest side on it. And you would expect for anybody that the likelihood is they'll be the team waiting in the Ulster final come the end of it.
7 in a row. Is that 13 out of 14 as well, Ciara?
It's huge. I think there's a few of the Kilku men have 14 county medals now, which is really, you know, I suppose it's still a wee bit shy of what Paul Hardy might have achieved in Cross McGlen, but it's phenomenal. Like and every year, I suppose their dominance. Maybe in hope, people will say, Burn are coming, Kerry Duff are coming, Warm Point are coming. Everybody, you know, they've had several different challengers. Clonduff are always there, thereabouts, and we're unlucky, in fairness. Clonduff missed the last minute 2-point effort to knock them out in the semi-final. They got out of jail a wee bit on that one, but they just keep on finding new ways to fend them off. And it's what's been impressive is, I suppose, the last few finals, they were so dominant and so comfortable against Burn last year, and I felt they were so dominant and so comfortable against Kerry Duff this year again. So it's not even that, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking, when is it actually going to end? It's at 13 and it could be a lot more before it's over.
Yeah, it could. Ominous for the down GAA playing public. Kerry, you just mentioned goals there. I think if you had told Kerry Moore you're going to score 4 goals in the semi-final replay with Loughmagory, you'd be happy enough with that, Ren. You think, I was just chatting, Ren. Kerry, you'd be happy enough with that there in terms of, yes, that this should be the platform, but yet they still went down by a point. And I suppose for Loughmagory, Trilly going into the third final, but, you know, taking, I suppose, the example from Newbridge, listen, the time is right, let's do it now. It's set up for another cracking showpiece in the Tyrone Championship final.
It's brilliant. You know, that was an unbelievable spectacle, the second half on Friday night. It was one of the most chaotic, crazy games of football you will ever see, that second half. Like in the last 3 or 4 minutes alone, you had a goal, a missed penalty, a scored penalty, and a 1-2 pointer. You know, and like that was pretty much how the whole second half went in general. So look, I've followed the Loughmagory story for a wee while. I would know a good few of them pretty well up there, and like it's an unbelievable achievement for them to be where they are. They've put on so much hard work for like a club that formed out of Carrickmore. Like up until 1973, the Loughmagory boys played for Carrickmore. There was no club, and they just decided to go on their own at that point. And the joke, well, I was up sort of interviewing a few of them last week before the drawn semi-final, or 2 weeks ago, and the kind of joke was through the 80s, like they were in danger of dropping out of the Ulster Herald, as they talked about. They were that low in the league table that they might have fell out of the paper altogether.
Yeah.
And in junior football, and they just kept on going and going, and they got themselves out. They won a junior in 80 and they won a junior in 93, and they got out, and they never went back until a random relegation in 2013. They went back to junior football as recently as that, but I suppose that wasn't their place at that time. They were better than that, and they jumped straight back up again. But, you know, they've only ever won 2 championships, and both of them were junior in the 80 and 93, and they just have done so much brilliant work again to produce footballers like Owen McElholm and Rory McCullough. There's 5 Donaghy brothers playing, which is so unusual in this day and age. They have 5 brothers on a team, and the Cahill Donaghy is somebody who every club player will recognise. The player on their team that the changing room just knows is their heartbeat. You know, we mightn't get much credit or headlines outside of the camp, but within the changing room, people know that he's the man, and he's been brilliant. And look, it's a massive one for them. Trillick have been, you know, in county finals, round county finals, winning county finals since they went up in 2015 and won one. They've never been far away. And look, most people, or a lot of people would say, you go back over the last 5 or 6 years, they have been the best team in Tyrone over that period. But haven't always won the championship. And it's just set up beautifully. It's such a massive day for Loch McCrory, but obviously the emotion for Trillick around Jody Gormley, and you know, it was the county final last year and they lost to Errol Kieran, and he came in and told the players in the changing room after that game that he was had a terminal illness, and there's a lot of emotion wrapped up in this for them as well. So like it's set up beautifully as a game of football, but as I suppose from an emotional point of view, it's a game that nearly shows you why the GAA touches places that other sports just can't. There's just so much wrapped up in this for the two communities.
Mm. Absolutely massive. And you know what? We can't wait for these couple of finals to be finished off and going into the brilliant Ulster Club. You'll be keeping an eye on everything for us, no doubt. And I have no doubt in that drum dressing room, you're like your man Donaghy there. You're the man there. Calling the big, giving the big.
No, absolutely. I'm the man that wishes would retire. Is he playing again next year?
you know that championship's coming. That championship's coming for sure. I want to be at that time when you get there next year. I'm gonna come.
I hope so. Sure. Every club thinks that, don't they? That next year's our year.
You're knocking. I think the stars will align next year, my man. You can hang up then.
I think of another 5 or 6 years left. Yeah.
You'll get pulled into the Masters. Ah, listen, no doubt.
I'm not there. I'm not just there yet.
Car top man as ever. That we'll be in touch as the Ulster Club unfolds. We'll get a yarn to you down the road, all right?
Good man, Brenton. Thank you.
Top man as ever is Car Kane of the Irish News. Of course, get it there on a Monday. A brilliant roundup of all the sport from the weekend. Talking about Masters, we're going to speak to two girls involved in the inaugural Ulster Masters, Maria Devaney and Maureen O'Donnell. Mo and Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brendan. Hi. Great to be here.
Get more and more titles. They just keep coming. Hey, I'll tell you what, trophy cabinets must be, you know, you probably have to reinforce them now, girls.
We're at 40, 45. I can give my age online here now today, or I'm live here. But to get another Ulster medal or Ireland medal, fantastic.
So you're older than me, Maria. It's funny how we change places in the family.
Yeah, you keep getting younger every year. All right,
that's the Botox. Don't tell anybody, Maria. Do you know what, Mo? Listen, I want to talk to you about the inaugural Ulster Masters Championship and won by Ulster with 5. Donegal girls representing it as well. Mo, just want to throw you a question first. Glenn Finn, when Donegal went out, listen, good Errol Kieran side, but just a kick of a ball in it. Mo, just looking, they were 4 down at half time. They were level with 5 minutes to go, but Errol Kieran reeling off the last 3 points to snatch victory.
Yeah, look, it was horrific conditions for a game, and some of the other Ulster senior games were actually called off. But you know what? Like, Glenfinn battled so hard, like, and then just a goal went in at just near the end of the first half. And, you know, that left them going in at the break, 4 points down. And also, look, when you look at the scores, there was a goal between them at the very, very end. There was a penalty in the first half, and I mean, Katie Hearn made a really good tackle, but the referee deemed it sort of a foul inside the area. But I really thought from where I was looking at it, it wasn't a foul, and that goal ended up to be the difference throughout the whole match then as well. When you look at their scoring, Errol Kieran were very good, but like they only scored 1-2 from play. Like both the Aoife Horrocks and Maria Canavan came away with 1-5 apiece, but as I say, a lot of those were from set pieces. Set balls, but look, very, very well matched, even teams. But I was saying to Katie after the game, like, sometimes, you know, you wonder if our own county championship is preparing us enough for going into Ulster, because it is extremely difficult. And look, they just faltered really at the last hurdle, and difficult conditions, I felt.
Yeah, difficult conditions is right. Well, you just mentioned it there around the set plays. I mean, 8 frees in the Errigal scoreline, only 3 in the Glenfinn. You know, that's obviously was the winning and losing. I know the penalty, the goal, and that. But when you think about that, there, what was causing it? Was it just the conditions, or you know, you'd have to say that they benefited so much from those fouls in terms of the scoreline?
Yeah, I really would put it down to the conditions. Like the ball was slipping all over the place. Girls were actually sliding all over the place. So, sometimes, in that intensity and the heat of the game, you're scrambling to get the ball as best you can. And sometimes when you're sliding in them conditions, the body kind of goes a wee bit further than, and you end up maybe knocking a player down, or there's some fouls for maybe obstruction, stuff like that. And look, it depends on the refereeing style on the day. It's very hard to get it right between the do you call everything or do you let the game flow a little bit. So look, I found that it was the Glenfinn found it a wee bit harder to get scores. And then when those fouls were maybe given away, maybe a bit sloppy and maybe a bit undisciplined defensively at times. And then of course when you have free takers like Aoife Horrocks and Maria Canavan on the end of it, like it's always going to be a score. So that was the difference in the end too, probably.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Listen, tough on Glenfinn. Listen, still champions, but well, it's so close. It's a bit agonising what might have been in a run through Ulster. Maria, you were recently representing Ulster. Tell us a bit about this inaugural Masters provincial tournament. Where did this come from?
I can finally walk properly again, Brendan. It took about 10 days, but it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Do you know what? From the international rules, with the when the Australian teams came over, and I was lucky enough to be asked to come in as a coach for the Ulster, for the Irish ladies team, there was just such a bite there, and there was such enthusiasm from a lot of girls around the country wanting to be part of that squad. So after it was finished, and our lovely Paul Gallagher and Mark Cannon and the Ulster men's from Donegal were talking, hey, you need to see if there's something else that we can run here for the over 40s. So JP Sheridan from Newport and Mayo, who would be head of the Masters Association, pulled together myself and a few other girls from around the provinces to see what would the would there be enthusiasm there to run an interprovincial. And there was a huge uptake, and Brent, it was just fantastic from beginning to end. We had our squads picked, and we from around Ulster, and girls who've been maybe past All Stars, county players. Some girls hadn't played county, and some girls had still been playing club football. Other girls like myself, bad knee, hadn't, but it gave me a goal, and it gave a lot of other girls goals to get fit. And we had a number of training sessions, and then we played the tournament last Saturday, and it was just an all-resounding success. It was fantastic.
And Mo, how did you go about picking, say, the five Donegal? You only mentioned the other girls was in there. How did you go about that kind of recruitment? Was it a matter of seeing who, as Maria was saying there, whose body was up there maybe more than anything?
Probably, I think with that kind of competition, you're supposed to pick a few from every county. And honestly, I don't think we had a choice, Brendan. Maria never gave anyone of us much of a choice. She says you're playing and that's it. And like I remember I had an injury when she started, sort of begging at me, and I said no. And then she rang me one weekend, I was away, and she said, how do you feel now? And I said, no, Maria, it's still a no, actually. But in hindsight, looking back, I
I don't
probably
give up.
didn't realize. Huh?
I don't give
Yeah,
up so much.
I don't give up. I probably didn't realize how big of a thing she was asking me to be a part of. That's the truth. I didn't really understand its importance. And like looking back now, I'm never as glad to have said yes to something, because it was probably one of the best experiences of my career so far. And that says a lot, because I didn't really realize that, at the end it would be another All-Ireland medal. And my dad says to me, you've added another All-Ireland medal to your cabinet. And when I really thought about it, that is the truth. And so I'm so thankful that I got the opportunity. I'm so grateful. And look, I guess you look at players who are maybe still playing a wee bit. I went back to play junior, and then other players who maybe haven't played as much in the last while. And then I guess a case of who's available and who really wants to play. And so it's a fantastic opportunity for anybody, and hopefully it's something that will continue now for the over 40s, for the Masters and Ulster, because I know that all of the girls that were involved, Maria included, and all the girls who put on a lot of work, Maria and Michaela, and our fabulous management team there, we wouldn't have been able to get it and maybe won it without them. So it's just fantastic.
Maria, where was all the games played, and who decided that? And did you get together for training much? What was the logistics there?
So, Bren, just on that, Debbie Lee Fox would have been, or Gaffney, and Sheena Kearney and Lorraine Sullivan from Donegal as well was playing. But we'd like to need Kinlan, who'd been All-Star for Monaghan back, and with Karen Hammond, who still plays midfield for Armagh. Fantastic. We had a number of players right across all the counties were represented. And there was three training sessions scheduled in Tyrone, and it was fantastic. Their Irish Gourmet sorted us out there. And then really the Masters, JP, the head of it, would look at where's the most central place. And we were in St. Bridget's in Roscommon, and brilliant location. And all four provinces came there. They all had trained about three or four times each. And then they came there. We had a great Fergal Duffy sponsored our gears there from Armagh. And cheese bread and even the training sessions and the crack and again getting involved in that. And I think I got so many messages from girls then going, like Mo was saying, the experience is brilliant. Like, we beat Munster in extra time. It was so tight. And the standard of football was fantastic. And that was coming right round from the Masters men to the spectators was there. But I think for me and for a lot of the girls, our families were there seeing us play, you know, and nieces and nephews were there, and like parents, they're all there, and they are lined out for us again. It was a special time, and even, as I said, me to line out, and my girls and boys come up, and they're like, geez, man, I made a block, or, you know, getting involved in the game, and them seeing you play at that level and representing Ulster, and then winning the cup was the top of it. It was very special, and there was such a buzz, and we're also in that WhatsApp group, and they want another tournament now, maybe next March time, so we'll see if it'll run again.
Yeah, indeed. And you enjoyed it, Mo. But do you think there's a future for this competition then? It just shows you probably the love of the game, that sometimes when you have to kind of go past a certain stage, you think those types of competitions aren't there anymore. But if there's such a, I suppose, such a will between the players and the people who enjoy watching it, there's this, and it certainly has a future.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it can only get bigger and better, you know. Obviously, the first year of trying to run something and get it off the ground is probably one of the hardest. And once you get with the flow and it starts the flow and people get interested and get involved and have such a good experience, the word of mouth, you know, it filters round. And like, I think that there's a huge number of players that are out there in Ulster that would still love a chance to play that are over 40, you know, that weren't even a part of the mix. So, yeah, I think it's a matter of just getting in contact and getting onto the clubs and getting onto the counties and seeing, you know, just gauging more interest as years go by. And, like, it's something definitely I think that should be there for the future, because no matter what, like, as Maria alluded to, like, the talent that was on show was phenomenal, and the standard of football was just amazing. And to be involved in that and be surrounded by so many fellow players playing along with us, that, you know, are just, you know, it's something you kind of dream of, to play with the players that you've played, ex-rivals and stuff like that. It's like them all coming in to play together. And one thing's for sure is, even if you're over 40 or no matter what age you are, I think that when you're playing at that high level for so long, you don't lose it. It hasn't been lost, but the problem is, and the issue is the body cannot keep up, because your mind's way ahead.
Yeah. And well, listen.
Mo could have given up on a ball. The first score, Brett, and it was scored. It was near the end line, and she threw her whole body at it, and it was such a tight angle. But it went over the bar, and we couldn't believe it. But we were laughing because we're like, we will never hear the end of this now from Maureen. This point that she scored. This is it now.
I've heard about this point.
We'll
talk
about this.
Sorry, that's what you're thinking. Like, you're just like, I'll throw my body at this to try and get it over the bar. Like, you know, because the intensity never leaves you. So you'll do whatever you can, like, for me to get a score. So
if it's anything, if it's anything like Maria's Proud Mary performances, there's still plenty of energy in there. Maria, you get that knee into the swilly there and get yourself better, hey, for a bit of Christmas hooligan. And listen, folks, listen, thanks so much for coming on and giving us that roundup and that breakdown of Ulster's one.
Thank you very much, Brendan, for having us on and the opportunity to chat about it and create a bit of awareness.
Not at all. Always good to chat. We'll be in touch. Yeah, that was Maureen O'Donnell. Maria Devaney there, she is Kelly now, but still going on to the Maria Devaney title when it comes to football. Listen, great having the girls on. That wraps up the show this evening. I want to thank Kenneth for producing. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. I'll speak to you next week.